economic cluster, Minister Mandi Simphatso will lead the briefing, the Minister of Trade and Industry, and with him is the Director General of Trade and Industry, Tshidiso Matona. After the introduction by the minister or the presentation, we will take questions from the media and
focus on the rest of the program, minus what was dealt with, I think, yesterday by the ministers of public enterprises, minerals and energy, I think information communications yesterday. And, of course, you're quite familiar with the program of the economic cluster as it has evolved over time and culminated in a set of issues which we said last year, over the next 3 years, these are the things that we are going to be focusing on as the economic cluster. And so the critical objective, I think, is one of creating conditions for the economy to grow at an accelerated rate, whilst at the same time transforming the structure of the economy. And in that particular regard, we have a program that focuses on three critical elements: enhancing economic efficiency, promoting dynamic sectors of the economy, and also continuing to do further work on developing and supporting small and micro enterprises. And of course, because I said that we are looking at creating conditions for increasing the rate of growth, whilst at the same time transforming the structure of the economy, it's got to be recalled that we took some critical decisions as well around some strategic sectors and interventions focused on energy, public transport, as well as information and communications technology, as really the strategic sectors that provide us with that possibility to structurally change the economy. And so that work, I mean, remains part of this program. In a sense, these three elements that I've highlighted now, which are enhancing efficiency, promoting dynamic sectors, and integrating small and micro enterprises, that really is to improve the performance of the economy as we have it. But we are also, in the more medium to long term, quite focused on ensuring that through these interventions in public transport, in energy, and in information and communications technology, we can actually have that impact that is much larger on the economy as to change the structure of that economy. And of course, we've increasingly been drawing attention as well to the institutional issues. Because our own experience actually has been that it's not enough for us to elaborate programs and just hope that, through normal operations in government departments, these things will be attended to. We've actually found that we have to create dedicated capacity for coordination work, for integration of these programs that are about the work of various government departments. And I think this is quite an important point to say that, the work of the economic cluster can't just rely on normal operations in government departments. You actually have to drive the work of coordination. You have to drive the work of integration. Because those things don't actually happen automatically in government departments. Government departments are used to departmental programs and departmental budgets. That's what they are used to. So the issues around cross-cutting programs and the integration and the coordination. Those things don't come naturally. And so one of the things that we found we have to do is to actually create dedicated capacity for this purpose. So that also is an ongoing process of building up that capacity to make sure that these things that we decide as part of the economic cluster actually do get implemented through the various departments. What is also clear is that we have done the work of identifying all of the correct things that need to be done. And I think in particular it's also important to say that you know, we are entering the last year of this term of government. And so this program, you know, doesn't have any new things, except that it focuses more on ensuring that those things that we've already agreed upon, we speed up and strengthen the implementation on those issues. And so that is the whole posture that we have entering into this final year in the term of the current government. And if we may just go into these three critical areas on enhancing economic efficiencies, you would know that over time the variety of things that have been initiated and things that have been identified and things that we've been working on in order to make sure that in the area of information and communications technology and telecommunications generally, we do the sorts of things that ensure that we can improve competitiveness of the economy, we can enhance efficiency in the economy. And there are a variety of things that were done during the course of 2007, and we will continue to do further work in this area. And so policy directives aimed at bringing down the costs of telecommunications were announced in 2007. The legislation to create the infrastructure company Infraco, that has been done. The capitalization of Centec, which we talked about for quite a long time, but it took a while to actually get to that point where there's further capitalization of Centec so that it could really roll out wireless broadband infrastructure. You would recall from last year's, what is that other budget called? The supplementary budget. That there was an injection into Centec of about 500 million. So that is an issue that has also been resolved. This year we are going to be focusing on implementing the digital broadcasting policy, and that includes the further rollout of digital broadcasting infrastructure by Centec. And you also know that we are in a process of digital migration as part also of preparing for the broadcast to the entire world of the 2010 World Cup. And so there is a recognition that it will not immediately be possible for everyone to have a digital television. And so part of what you have to do is to create an overlap period where it is possible to run both signals. And you then enable people that cannot immediately secure digital TVs to have a mechanism that enables them to use the existing TVs but be able to tap into the right signal. So the set-top boxes, that's what we'll have to introduce for many homes that cannot immediately purchase your digital or TVs that work on a digital signal. And so there is work that has been going on to actually develop a program or a strategy for the manufacture of these set-top boxes. And that work has largely been completed, and we will then be undertaking a campaign to raise awareness about this broadcasting digital migration. And we will also, of course, continue to monitor quite closely and benchmark ourselves in relation to telecommunications costs with competitor countries in order to enable us to evaluate the impact of our efforts to bring down the cost of the telecommunications. The Public Transport Action Plan continues to be implemented. The tertiary care program also continues to be implemented. With all of those numbers that you see there on the numbers of taxis, I think this is something that is, at least we can say that the taxi recapitalization program has now taken root, because this is, again, one of those things that we worked on for a very long time, but it just wouldn't bite. But I think right now it has actually taken root. It is rolling out gradually, and we can see that through the increasing numbers. I was just looking at the report we did to ourselves in August last year, and certainly you see that there's been progress in terms of further numbers of taxis that have been scrapped. The National Road Passenger Plan that provides for a transformed subsidy system for buses has also been completed, and detailed public transport operational plans have been developed for the 2010 host cities. You will recall that the public transport strategy, which is a strategy that runs to 2020, the first phase of it, which is till 2011, has been linked very directly to the preparations for the World Cup. And you will then have another phase and another phase. There are about three phases to this program. So there will be a continuation of that rollout of the Public Transport Action Plan during the course of this year. We'll also, as a cluster, be part of this obviously necessary and intensive campaign to improve energy efficiency through ensuring a saving of energy by households and industrial users. This is something that has become even more important more recently. It's one of the APEX projects committed to in July by the Cabinet Lehutla. And it is important to mention here or touch on an issue that has been commented on by various people, which is the future of certain economic activities that require high energy input. In responding to the current electricity situation, the effort will be to ensure that there is simply better coordination and proper planning for those kinds of initiatives. But I think as a country, we cannot communicate a message that we are not suitable as an investment destination for the kinds of investments that require energy. But it's simply a question of ensuring that we better coordinate and sequence those that particularly need, you know, lots of energy. And so our commitment to the Alcan smelter, it is unshaken, and there is a constant contact and communication between ourselves and Rio Tinto Alcan, as well as with ESCOM. And so that's something which we just have to ensure is handled properly. The issue of skills for the economy is, again, an area that's going to receive a lot of focus this year. And in this particular regard, there are priority areas that have been identified, such as artisan trades. That has been done during the course of 2007 and will be updated during 2008. It is an important area of work, because even some of the work that we have to undertake in terms of the industrial development, if we are to successfully develop the capital goods industry as a way of supporting and ensuring maximum benefit from the infrastructure investment program. We have to make sure that we intensify the work on developing the kinds of artisans, because those are areas of work that require actually artisanal skills. The Department of Education has also finalized recently a student enrollment planning exercise for 2007 to 2010, and through this program, this planning process, universities will produce up to 2,000 graduate engineers who will be eligible for registration with the Engineering Council of South Africa. The department is also providing additional targeted funds on an annual basis to engineering and other staff skills faculties to increase their capacity. And further, the work on facilitating the immigration of high skills continues. In other words, we have to continue to deal with the log jams that do happen as and when it is necessary to import a high skill. The work on economic regulators, which we, in terms of our report last year, we had expected to be completed by December 2007. It's clearer now that it can only be completed by about April this year, but the work is ongoing. In our continued efforts to address the issues of competition, anti-competitive behavior, we have got to a point where we'll be taking through both Cabinet and Parliament the legislation to amend the draft legislation to amend the existing competition legislation. This is work that we've done over time to do a review, a competition review, that would enable us to assess what the experience has been of implementing the competition legislation and the experience also of the competition authorities, the competition tribunal and the competition commission. And through that review, we're able to identify areas of the law that do need to be strengthened in order to make sure that we can more vigorously address the issues of competition in the economy. And I do want to indicate that, you know, the country would have seen increased activity by our competition authorities. And we will, as a department, also be strengthening over the medium term the capacities of the competition authorities. And it must be expected that we are also going to be a lot more vocal around the issues of competition, because it is quite clear that when these things are unchecked, companies, you know, continue to do things that result in anti-competitive outcomes or engage in anti-competitive behavior. And I'm sure we've seen enough evidence of this in the recent past. We will, of course, link this work on the competition legislation with the work that we are doing on finalizing the framework for economic regulators across the economy. We'll also be looking at ourselves just in terms of our regulatory work, just to ensure that we regulate right, but we don't regulate too much. There is a report that comes out, I think, on an annual basis, which is done by the World Bank, which is called Doing Business, and it looks at doing business in different countries. Those are the sorts of things that we are also looking at addressing during the course of this year. The second area of our work, which relates more to industrial development and sector work, we, of course, have gone beyond the stage of doing policy work in the area of industrial development. We do have an industrial policy framework, and we also do have attached to that an industrial policy action plan that we adopted during the course of 2007, in which we indicated some of the lead sectors where we had done sufficient work, sufficient analysis, to profile those particular sectors as sectors that we are leading in with in implementing our industrial policy framework as well as the action plan. And so your capital and transport equipment sector, which would directly link with the massive infrastructure investment program that's taking place in the economy. The automotive sector, both assembly as well as component manufacture, with a particular focus on ensuring that we can deepen the manufacture of the components in South Africa and increase the local content of vehicles that are assembled in South Africa. And you would also recall that on the 18th of December, we did issue the statement that we said would issue that would give the broad direction we'll be moving in regarding the Motor Industry Development Program. I would believe that many of you did see that statement, but should anyone have missed it, we could refresh people's minds as to what was contained in that statement. But through that statement, we provided the clarity that the detailed work that we are doing in terms of developing the new rules for a scheme that will be more comfortable as being in line with our international obligations, WTO and so on, it will not have an impact on further support by government to the automotive industry. And we did put the central elements of the new program, and it's just the detailed work that is currently being done. The chemicals, plastic fabrication and pharmaceutical sector is yet another area where we saw we had done sufficient work and we saw important opportunities, as well as the forestry, pulp, paper and furniture sector. We also highlighted then that we would continue doing work in terms of the sectors that have been identified as part of our GISA, so your BPO, tourism and biofuels, as well as the stabilization of the clothing and textile sector. And in terms of the business process outsourcing, the implementation of the government assistance program has begun with 6 new investments that have been secured in the business process outsourcing sector. We have also sorted out the issues of funding for the training, the skills program for BPO. In the area of tourism, we have been able to support 993 small and medium enterprises through the Tourism Enterprise Program, and also 500 tourism establishments with a total of 87,281 rooms were graded as part of that work on developing tourism, and particularly small enterprises in that area. Provinces also continue to develop and implement safety strategies, which is an important aspect of the tourism development. And one of the key constraints to increasing the numbers of tourists has also been the sufficiency of routes, and therefore the work on implementing the airlift strategy has also begun. The biofuel strategy has been completed and adopted by Cabinet. And in clothing and textiles, we are also implementing key action plans focusing on recapturing the domestic market, technology and industrial upgrading, and implementing country of origin labeling regulations. In the metals and engineering sector, business plans and funding for the National Foundry Technology Network has been finalized, as well as the implementation of the National Tooling Initiatives, which is already underway. Now, these are two very important programs that would ensure success of the work we have to do in developing the capital goods sector. The foundry network and the tooling initiatives are the two really critical components of that work of developing that sector. And so we've been able to complete those plans and secure the funding for those. to ensure that the public investment program leads to greatest possible benefits for the economy as cost effectively as possible. We've got our parastatals to develop supply development programs. And so Eskom, Transnet, as well as they are in that process of developing those competitive supply development programs. We will also be doing further work, because the work that we did on industrial development, one of the things that became clear as we were doing that work was that in the South African context, you are not going to get a single bullet sector that will give you 500,000 jobs or a million jobs. In order to address the employment challenge in South Africa, you actually have to work across many different sectors of the economy. Of course, looking for and taking opportunities where labor-intensive industries are possible to develop and promote. And so, whilst we have highlighted these lead sectors, capital goods, automotive, chemicals, pharmaceuticals, and plastic fabrication, as well as the forestry, paper, and pulp, as well as furniture, we are continuing to do further work. One of the comments that has been made by one of you, I think, in the last few days, was that the industrial policy is very urban biased. I can't quite remember who said that. But it is important to just make the point that both in terms of what currently is provided for as the lead sector or the lead sector in the economy as part of the industrial policy action plan, the forestry, pulp, paper and furniture sector is specifically for purposes of ensuring those linkages to your more rural and your more farmland areas. Because if you were to go, for instance, to the Eastern Cape today, to see, you know, the impact of some of this work on rural communities there, it tells you that with the kind of thinking work that we refer to, where we are looking beyond just harvesting the forest, but actually growing the forest, there are possibilities to employ a lot, thousands of people as you do that afforestation. And hence we have to deal with all of the obstacles and the constraints such as the issues around water licensing and so on, so that you can actually unlock that activity of getting people involved in actually planting new trees to grow our forest. So both in terms of what we have, but also some of the work that we are still doing in terms of industrial policy, federal industrial development work. And there will be areas whose focus will be on ensuring that your rural areas are also catered for. And so one of the areas where we are doing further work, which is further work of developing the program or the strategy, is the area of agriculture and agriculture. And of course, you know that there has been a tendency around land and agriculture reform, which both in terms of the food funding resolution, but also in terms of the program of government, we have emphasized the need to speed up this issue around land and agriculture. So the work on agriculture and agro-processing is an important part of what we are doing in order to come up with key action plans and to begin work in this area. The area of mining and mineral beneficiation is also another area where we are doing further strategy development work. Construction is an area that we are looking at supporting, enjoying a boom at the moment, and we are looking at the substantial employment creation through further support that we can provide for construction.
in the area of retail, our focus really is on ensuring that we can promote and encourage and facilitate those linkages between small and micro enterprises and the supply chain of your major retail groups. So this is an area, again, you know, this is not something that's going to happen automatically. We actually have to work to facilitate, to promote, to establish those linkages that will ensure that small and micro enterprises are able to enter those supply chains. There's some work that we're doing also in developing the marine aquaculture sector with a focus on promoting increased production capacity, particularly through establishing aquaculture development. The creative industries area is an area that holds huge potential, and so work in this area is happening in particular pockets. So we have work that's been done in trucks and so on. But we are actually looking at ensuring that we can put together a program that would really unlock the potential of the creative industry across the spectrum of creative industry. And of course, consumer durable, given the high level of consumer demand in South Africa today, and we believe that as more and more people enter the labor market and as more and more people participate in the economy, it is these kinds of goods that are actually purchased on quite a sustainable basis. And so we are looking at possibilities for local manufacturing in those areas, but also importantly, repairs as well as maintenance, as areas that can also provide quite a lot of alongside these specific sector interventions, where we continue to implement other strategic and cost-cutting interventions. And let me just say that on some of these sectors, that we are actually not waiting, you know, for big strategies to materialize in some of these areas. There are important projects that are underway. For instance, in the area of the creative industry. There are important projects that are underway in the area of agriculture and agro-processing. There are important areas that are underway. So there's both specific projects that are being undertaken, but also the larger areas of developing a more sort of comprehensive strategy. But we'll continue to do work also on research and development interventions for the development of new technical industries. One of the apex priorities of the establishment of the dedicated center to support your larger investment so that we ensure that there is a place that can help to undo blockages when they do occur for particular larger investment. Reviewing water usage scenarios and developing measures for efficient management of water resources. Long-term mitigation scenarios and implementing decisions arising out of the work on climate change, as well as implementing anti-poverty interventions that direct address employment and economic development and ensure integration into special services. Importantly, and I think that the announcement made by the President begin to signal in a quite important way that the work that we are doing and will continue to do between ourselves and the Treasury on improving the design and administration of industrial finance. This is work that we have already identified in the Industrial Policy Action Plan, that we do need to do this work with the Treasury. In the same way that this Treasury has to design this industrial upgrading program, because we have identified industrial upgrading as an important cross-cutting intervention that will ensure that we improve the efficiencies and competitiveness of our sector. Integration of small and micro enterprises, an important area of work of the chapter, which will focus really on strengthening the integrated state financial and business development support for small enterprises through strengthening the decision making. Last year in August, when we did briefing such a first one, we did say that we were going to be taking a comprehensive update to the Cabinet Committee on Investment and Employment on the work that they're doing on small enterprises. And we duly did that. And what that sought to do was to take Cabinet through a lot of the rollout work that we have been doing, both in terms of establishing the new small enterprise development agency and rolling out the infrastructure, the establishment of the microfinance asset fund and rolling out the infrastructure, but also within them to develop the product to support small and micro entrepreneurs. The expansion of the footprint of Kula, which has also been happening. So we updated the cabinet on all of that work that we have done, and we're able to say this is the network that we have across the country, in provinces, in districts, and so on. And these are the products that we offer. These are the sort of numbers that we have been able to reach in terms, for instance, of the Small Enterprise Development Agency. And coming out of that report and the discussions that took place, the focus now will be less on rollout of infrastructure, because we've done that. The focus now is going to be on improving the coordination and synergy among these different agencies and in utilizing this infrastructure that sits right across the country. So that's going to be the focus really, but perhaps even more importantly, improving the intergovernmental small business support work. Because provinces are doing work in this area, local authorities are doing work in this area. And of course, as we were rolling out this infrastructure, we were interacting with provinces and whether it's better to say local governments. But there are still things that need to be tied up around the issue. And if you take, for instance, the issues around funding for small these funding like your infrastructure for small so there are things that we still need to try out and we're going to be focusing on that. I must just say that as the MINMET, which is Trade and Industry and the Department of MEC for Economic Affairs and all of the programs, we have set up a task team and that is just looking specifically at these issues of small business. We concluded the work on identifying the 10 products that should be procured by government from small enterprises, and that work we duly implemented during the course of this year. We also will be implementing the decisions that were taken on how we can enhance the payment fee for small enterprises. And of course we have done better work on this area of improving financial support to small enterprises, including consideration of the Kula direct to pay financial share. When I say we've done better work, the business case that looks at the issue of some level of direct involvement by state entities in because of the specific challenge that we think cannot be addressed by the government. And this is really the lower end. And that's where we've really been focused. And we said that let the work be done and to see how we can actually intervene. And this is one of the things that we're going to be discussing that we're going to be having in cabinet during the so that cabinet can then take the decision. really the area that has been bothering us so much is really the Noah area, because in South Africa it's a lot easier to raise 2 million rand than it is to raise 6,000. So it's really that area that has been bothering us. And this is where you said that let's look at how we can intervene, not because we think that you know, the totality of that can be solved by a state agency being active in that area, but through that, the possibility to leverage and attract the private sector even into that space of financing the small enterprises. We will also be completing the work of aligning the preferential procurement legislation with the BEE legislation and the code of perspective of BEE. That work that you already are doing in the Treasury is rolling out the 10 programs for government procurement for small enterprises, setting up the small enterprise procurement call center, that is the one that is helping, yet, you know, small enterprises are not being paid quickly enough, as well as strengthening the tourism enterprise program to promote the tourism development. The national maintenance strategy, which will be done through the funded and publicly funded public works program, is yet another area of work where we are looking at job creation. And I've already made reference to the issue around speeding up land and aggressive reform issues. There is, of course, the ongoing effort to provide information and to communicate around some of your second economy initiatives, and there's a publication that does that, a radio, programs that are being run in that area, and there's work that's being done in the television series to make sure that people can be informed about some of those initiatives. And so as a cluster here, we will continue to improve delivery and the focus really on ensuring that through the things that we do, we indeed facilitate for the faster rate of economic growth, as well as facilitate for a greater employment situation. Thank you very much. I hope that you have your question.
Okay, we're going to take questions now. Can I just repeat that we agreed that we'll take one question at a time. But people have been asking five questions. You make it difficult for me to facilitate a smooth discussion, because then Mushasha will ask two questions here, and somebody else wants to ask three or four questions, and in the process you lose some of the questions, or somebody wants to do a follow-up. So let's try to stick to one question at a time. You can ask, raise your hand many times. So we'll start with it. Yeah. Just identify yourself.
Paul Becker, from IQH. Minister, can you give us more detail on the set-top boxes? And it's all one question, just like, for instance, who's going to produce them, how many per year, and what kind of prices range are we looking at?
Okay, the PG will answer.
We're working with the Department of Communications in this area, as well as with the local electronics in the industry. We had a workshop last week to begin to put together the details of the plan, which we will announce as soon as we finalize that. But a crucial part of that would be for the Department of Communication to finalize the specification for the boxes, which will enable us with DTI to begin to galvanize the industry who are ready. In fact, I think time is of the essence as we approach 2010. The industry is quite concerned that we finalize all these two conditions. So it's ongoing work, but we're happy with the progress that we're making there. The crucial part of it would be the speed with which the Department of Communication finalizes the specification. Thanks.
Okay, next one.
Double pressing doesn't support. Minister, I heard what you said about anti-competitive behavior. What do you have in mind in terms of import parity pricing? Are you going to have legislation with some teeth? Given a food report some years ago and spiraling food prices, what is the latest thinking of government in this area?
Yes, certainly the areas we are considering to amend in the legislation are also areas that enable the Chief Authority to do more proactive work, more proactive investigation and intervention. And so, whilst the detail of how we're going to amend the competition legislation is clear once we've taken the draft to camera, but certainly one of the areas we're looking at strengthening the shore is that we don't only have a reactive system where on the basis of the complaint that is laid, action can be taken. So it is one way in which we are looking to strengthen it. In ways that we hope will also help us to address the challenges of income parity prices. Because that is also something that leads to true pricing and that leads to anti-competitive outcomes. And of course, we are also through the legislation that we are busy preparing to put in now, clarifying also areas in the law that may be there, but when it comes to interpretation, it's not quite so clear. So if you're saying competitive, anti-competitive outcome, to further elaborate on it, it's something that makes it easy for the competition authority. So those are certainly will remain things with the issue of import parity prices. We shall not let out, even though it's a difficult area of work. It's a difficult area of work because, you know, it is about pricing by companies. Traditionally an area where you don't quite enter the government, the gauge of affection. But because of the impact of this in terms of the our ability, for instance, to promote downstream manufacturing, it's an area that has become a sufficient concern for us to feel that we have to both develop a framework that helps us to deal with this, as well as interact a lot more intensely with the players in those areas where we believe that there may be important. We are also looking at areas where we can also help reduce costs by removing unnecessary tariffs, and you will have seen that in the area of steel, but also in the area of the other aluminium, chemicals, and so on, we are doing further work to see whether or not to retain tariffs that we may see in the future.
So that all of the work that we are doing
What was it about?
So in the context of a food report some years ago and the foreign cost of food, what interventions are brought on in that area?
Yeah. No, certainly the issue about food pricing in South Africa is something that will receive greater attention both at the level of the competition authority, as you are already, you know, seeing as a poster of the competition authority, but also something that is of concern to wider government, because it is also something which is not just a South African phenomenon, but something that seems to have links also to development globally in this area. So at both levels, it is something. I don't have anything specific that I can say to you at the moment, except that even in the deliberations, let me say that it is included that in the deliberations of the cabinet, which I believe that is very much a future.
Yeah, but there may not be any specific in regards to food prices more generally. But I could add that the Department of Agriculture, I think, was very concerned, and there's been a meeting between the Department, DTI and Agriculture to begin to examine their policy developments in this area. Just apart from the work of the competition authorities in this area, I might also add. And again, I might not have details, but perhaps you want to check with the National Treasury. The NA is doing further work on administered pricing, which also has an impact on food pricing. So there is a new phase of work in relation to administered pricing. So you probably want to check with the Treasury on that. Thanks.
Terry Ravanna from the Financial Mail. Minister, would you like a bit more detail on when you speak of incentives, is there any suite of incentives that you can confidently say is finalized or close to being finalized, either by sector or the industry? And also, what's the latest on this the alternative to the second steel manufacturer to compete with Intel? How far that process? Have you identified size? Is there an appetite for that? What's the interest on that?
One of the things we did as we were doing the work on industrial development was to do a comprehensive review of the entirety of the industrial financing and the various schemes that we have had in place over the last in the post-democracy era. So quite a comprehensive exercise that looked at every other incentive that has come to life in that period, but also studying the trend line in terms of establishing what's happening in terms of the levels of support by government. We learned important lessons. You know, we were able to identify incentives that have worked well and those that have not worked so well. We were able to identify weaknesses in terms of how we've actually been using these incentives. In other words, the relationship between availability of incentives and the outcome, whether the availability of incentives does actually give us the outcome that we have.
been able to look at our own weaknesses in terms of administering these industrial incentives. We've been able to identify the challenge and generally, over time, one can say a rising officer because you tend to put these things in place for a certain period. You never have incentives forever. And quite a number of these actually have come to an end. So that your overall trend was a downward level of support in terms, by way of industrial. So these are all the things that came out of this report and provided a new basis for us to come to cabinet to say this is the state of affairs in terms of government support for industrial development. Also provided the basis for us to sort of begin a new kind of conversation with the treasurer in designing a new suite of incentives to support this. And there are some things that we are a lot clearer about, but we are doing the detailed work in the interaction with treasurer. There are things that we are a lot clearer about. We are a lot clearer about incentives that would be more aligned to and attuned to the priorities of our industrial policy as priorities. We are a lot clearer about the need for greater reciprocity so that the government makes incentives available. There's a much closer, in a sense, accountability for that. What does it produce? What does the money buy? What are the results that we get? So that's all part of the work that is going on currently between ourselves and the treasury. There are specific incentives that have been concluded. For instance, in the area of business process outsourcing, of course, you would understand that this is work that we concluded much earlier. Some of the steps that all of the incentives that we thought we needed.
Small and medium enterprise development, SMEDP. In that period, we also did a review, and we're now going to have a new incentive, which is called the Small Enterprise Growth Growth Program. So we've done a review, and that will be coming on stream. So that's work that has been completed, which will be focused on supporting smaller investment by smaller and medium enterprises. Other work is going on. The details, for instance, around the new or replacement scheme for the MIDP, some of the detail around that will be informed by the outcome of this work that Professor Anthony Black is doing. Is there another area that you would think of? But film, yes, film. I think we are going to be launching. Yes, the I think on the website all of the information has been made available about the revised film incentive, and then there'll be an actual launch which I think is coming around the 13th of March or so. So that's also another area where in the area of film we've done two things in that area. We've got further support from Treasury to support the promotion of South Africa as a venue for the shooting of big budget movies. But we've also had to accommodate in response to representations by local filmmakers. We've had to respond also to the need to support your smaller filmmakers, because the scheme that we had designed was really meant for big budget movies, I think 25 million rand and above. And so we've had to respond to constant representations by by local filmmakers who said that, you know, there's actually a need for this for your smaller end. So part of this, yes, it's work that has been done. Part of it is work that will unfold and we will announce as we complete in the different areas. Yeah.
Sorry, Minister, I didn't want to deny you the Kodak moment to launch the film thing. What we've done, and you'll see on our website, is the nature of this new small productions film incentive. I think the official launch, to which all of you who are interested will be invited will come later. In the matter of weeks. But it's important to underscore an issue of principle in relation to incentives, that it is generally advisable, even by the standards of World Trade Organization, that you don't have a proliferation of sector-specific incentives. So those, to the extent that we have sector-specific incentives, such as the MIDP and so on, will be because of the particular feature of market failure in that sector. But it's generally advisable to have uniform, cross-sectoral kind of incentives. And in this regard, the SMEDP has served that purpose. It's been available to various industries. And so will be its successor, this enterprise growth program that Minister referred to. Because sector specificity also enhances your vulnerability in terms of world trade rules, in terms of countervailing or complaints of subsidization by government and so on. As you know, subsidization of industry by government is regulated in international trade law. So we will tend to look for opportunities for more generalized incentives, such as tax-based, also incentives which tend to be available to all in industries. So do not expect that each and every sector will have a sector-specific incentive. Thanks.
Okay, so next question, it is.
Hi, Lukhan Salat, ETV. Just some insights into the Competition Commission. I mean, we've seen them go after car manufacturers, bread manufacturers, milk producers, and now they're targeting the medicines guys. Yet we hardly ever see the prices come down. I mean, you know, and some of these guys are caught out for collusion and price fixing. And I just need to find out, I mean, what's up with that? Yes, we see these guys and they're caught for collusion and all of those and price fixing, yet we hardly ever see the prices come down, and I need to find out from the minister just what he makes of that. Thank you.
Before we answer, Minister, there's a question about the competing steel smelter. Are there more details on location or investor? See, a problem, as I told you, ask two questions and then...
Update on 2 matters.
Yeah, you must ask one. Update
on 2 matters.
Let's repeat. I mean, the industrial policy framework proposes establishment of a second steel smelter to compete with ArcelorMittal and bring down the cost of steel. So what I'd like to know is, has there been any progress in that work? Have there been sites identified? What's the investor appetite to invest in that area? And yeah, when might it be operational, you know, in the light of power outages and all that.
We had referred in the Industrial Policy Action Plan to undertaking a study to look at the feasibility of establishing a second steel smelter, and that is work that is still underway. That study is still underway. We don't have a report as yet. Yeah.
Okay. ETV.
Yeah. on the competition, I mean, obviously it concerns us that you have judgments such as that we've had with bread and so on, and that we don't see immediately a response in terms of price. Now, it's hard to say how soon after a judgment would you expect to see change in behavior. For example, change in behavior might come in the form of a slower rate of price increase, for example. But the important thing, I think, is the amendments that we're proposing and the implementation of competition law, the changes in the implementation of competition law that we're proposing, which includes, you know, for example, a much more closer scrutiny, particularly of those industries where we suspect that there may be anti-competitive behavior. And then so to the extent that we're able, through this proactive ability that we're giving ourselves to monitor them, we would expect that that should tell us whether in fact there continues to be prohibited anti-competitive behavior and therefore to take additional measures, as it were. So I think that our competition authorities are much more prepared than ever before, you know, to tackle this sort of phenomenon. So competition is clearly going to be an area of great activity going forward. Thanks.
Yes, yeah, let's take the next one.
Linda Ames for Business Day. You mentioned the need for greater coordination and collaboration between departments. In particular, what areas have fallen short because of a lack of cooperation? Where have there been policy failures or vacuums because of that lack of coordination? Thank you.
Yeah, if you were to take, for instance, we've been quite clear on ensuring that we don't just spend a lot of money as the public sector on raising the level of investment and ensuring that we increasingly invest in all the areas of infrastructure. We've also wanted to maximize the benefit for the economy from all of that investment. And one of the things that we identified early was the need to ensure that with all of this infrastructure that is being rolled out, or all of these investments, there's going to be a need for integrated planning. So that we've got an example, you know, of a dam called the Warp Dam. You would know perhaps that from previous reports. You know, it's a decision that was taken some time ago, which got held up in environmental impact assessment processes for a while. But one of the clear failures that you had there, you know, the Warp Dam in terms of where it is located, there is a smaller access road and there is a main trunk road, which is the main road that you would need for all of the traffic of trucks and so on that are ferrying things to and, you know, to the Warp Dam. And in terms of the funding, yes, funding has been secured for the Warp Dam, the construction and funding for the small access road, so to speak. But there was no funding for the trunk road, which clearly, in a while, would not be able to carry the kind of traffic, the volumes of traffic that would be needed. And so
there, if your planning had happened in an integrated way, you would have ensured that all of the right elements are in place in order to ensure that the investment happens in an optimal way. So that's just an example, you know, that highlights the need. But we ran into another problem also around this integrated infrastructure planning, because you've got parastatals that have got investment plans. Now, a lot of this information is proprietary information, because it's parastatals, and for that matter, even as governments, it's information that would have a lot of value to private players. And so it became quite a challenge to actually source the information that would make it possible to do the integrated planning that we're talking about. And so we've had to take measures that would ensure that you can actually get the information, and it could be provided with confidence that it will be protected. So that's really just an area where there's been actually that process was stuck for a while, you know, while we're busy trying to address these issues of what protocol can we develop that would make it possible for your ESCOMs, your Transnet, your Telkom. I mean, you know, Telkom would be concerned providing information about its infrastructure plans when there's also Infraco, which is part of the state machinery. You know, so there are things like those that represent this.
Okay, Alistair.
Alistair Sparks, IAJ Minister. Looking at the bigger picture, whatever you may achieve in terms of infrastructural development at GISA, APEX, priorities, the coordinating synergies you've been talking about, that in fact future growth is going to be constrained by two factors that cannot be rectified for a number of years to come, and those are shortage of power and shortage of skills. And are those two areas of failure where you've hit ceiling now, don't they together mean, are they not going to cap growth? Does that not mean goodbye 6%? And is that not in fact the legacy that you're going to be handing over next year to a new and less experienced government?
So you know it will be new and less experienced. Well, I think the crucial issue, we have a momentum that has been generated in South Africa, and that momentum, if I were to refer to a slide here that actually, you know, looks at the sources of growth in South Africa. Obviously, an important element of that has been quite a robust level of consumer demand. And we do believe that, you know, that level of consumer demand is reflective of some structural change that is happening in the South African economy. Structural change in the sense that we do believe that you are having greater levels of participation in the economy, and that gets reflected in that higher level of consumer demand. And we also believe that qualitatively the growth, you know, this time around is different, because it is also growth that is through a higher level of investment in the economy. Because I think one of the weaknesses that has been there has been that the level of gross fixed capital formation in the economy has been constrained for quite a long time. And we have seen some important improvements. In fact, if we were to look at this term, when we started this term of government, the level of investment in the economy was at about 15%. And you've been able to see a 6% growth in the level of investment, such that we are now upwards of 20%, with an aim of 25%
overall level of investment in the economy. I think that's an important legacy that we'll be able to leave, that you've been able to raise the level of investment. But of course, we recognize in the process of doing all of the work that we've been doing over the past 4 years, we have identified the issue of skills. And there's already important work that is underway to address this problem. And we can look at the number of things that are being done. I mean, we allowed our technical colleges to basically, they basically fell through the cracks in the transition, you know, to the new sort of structures of government post-1994. So one of the areas that has received attention is a higher level of investment in our further education and training colleges to make sure that they can respond to the skills challenge of the moment. And so the fact that you are not producing enough artisans in the economy, it was a manifestation of the fact that your technical colleges were functioning below par. That's an area that has already received attention. There are also, if you take in terms of AFGISA, the GIPSA initiative, it has been able to focus us on the critical skills that we are short of in the economy and begin that process of greater interaction among training institutions, private sector, as well as government, in order to make sure that we can begin to address through our universities some of those skills that are most needed by the economy. I do think that the issue about skills, you know, it's a challenge as well as a massive opportunity, because I think one of the things that needs to be done in South Africa is really to entrench training by companies and to make sure that training, you know, is just a part of what companies do. We've got to bring back, and we've started doing this, bring back the role of parastatals in producing skills for the economy. So I'm saying, Alistair, that indeed the issue of skills is a challenge, but at least we are some measure of the way down the line in addressing this issue, because we've been able, through work we've done, to identify the areas that need particular attention. In the area of energy, I think that, again, the plans are already there to build more capacity to produce electricity. And that is work that is underway. We've been caught, you know, by the shortage currently, and through, I think, the things that have been proposed, the energy saving, you know, we'll be able to manage, because I think the critical thing is the reserve margins proved to be a critical challenge. And, you know, from what Alec and the other ministers said yesterday, the effort is to make sure that we can at least improve our reserve margin, in which case we'll be able to better manage whilst the work that is going on to bring on stream new generation capacity. I still believe that the South African economy has got a lot of electricity capacity. I do believe that South Africa will continue to be able to respond to the needs for energy, provided, of course, that we better manage the issues around your energy saving campaign as a critical component of this, better planning and coordination of your more intensive, energy-intensive types of investments, so that those can be properly sequenced with new capacities that will come on stream. I do believe that the combination of the momentum that has been generated in the economy,
because I don't believe that there's going to be a let-up in the investment that is going to take place in the economy. You're not just going to stop that tomorrow. I don't believe that we should despair really about it may take us a bit longer to achieve the level of growth that we've wished for, but it's important for us to recognize that we've been growing at 5%, something that has been a major achievement in this era of democracy. For us to grow consistently over 3 years at 5%, it's a major achievement, and I think it's part of the legacy that is going to be left for the next government that will come on stream. It will simply have to, you know, build on this important work that is already underway and ensure that that work is implemented effectively.
All right, that was the last. I didn't see any more hands. Perfect. Quickly. And Michael. So that will be the last two.
On an alternate note, you said that in South Africa it's easy to raise 3 million rand than to raise 50,000 rand. I'm sure many in the second economy will do a tip or two. How is it done?
Michael,
yeah, let's take it. Okay, I'd like to know what the 10 goods are that are being provided to small, medium, by small, medium, and micro enterprises to the government.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes, I'm going to try and rely on my faculties to remember all of them. We identified, and there are people in the room who must, you know, help us to put together the entire list. But we have identified the area, for instance, of In terms of buildings, we've identified various areas, such as interior and exterior deco work, in terms of repair and maintenance work, in the area of building, just in the area of building. I think those interior and exterior deco repair and maintenance. So in the area of building, those are some of the things that we are looking at being procured more from smaller enterprises. In the area of clothing and textiles, cut, make and trim is an area because government sources actually quite a lot of clothing and textile products. And we are looking at that being secured more from your smaller enterprises. And if you come to think of it, it actually amounts to quite a lot of procurement by government in those kinds of cut, make, and trim clothing and textile products. In the area of information and communication technology, there is work that has been identified, and I think that is the work that relates to, for instance, the network type of work, where the laying, I think, of the necessary network for to support the computer network in a particular establishment. We have identified advertising, media, and communication as an area that must also must be procured more from smaller enterprises. Have you thought of more travel services? So your shuttle type services, as well as catering. What else? Oh, vehicle repair work also is an area that we are looking. But we could just provide you the full list. But those are just some of the areas that we have. It was actually quite an interesting exercise, because I'm sure that anyone that hears that, you know, 10 products are going to be set aside to be procured from small enterprises, all sorts of ideas come to mind. We actually had to undertake an exercise, a research exercise, to look at what is it actually that government buys the most. So that, you know, you work through that. And what you actually found was that some of your more high-value type activities, government actually purchases little of that. And so if you say you want to support small enterprises, that's not the area to look. So it's been a process, you know, like that, where we source information from departments nationally as well as from provinces, and to then process all of that information to arrive at the sorts of things that government buys the most, but also that are a lot easier to begin with for small enterprises. We clearly would like to, in the course of time, be able to move more into your more manufactured type products, but we are making a beginning with this, and we'll learn from it, and as time goes on, we'll hopefully build on what we have we've started with.
Okay, end of the briefing. Just about tomorrow, I think there will be a schedule outside here which you will see, revised schedule. We have added another cluster briefing, the IRPS.
You will see it in the schedule. Thank you.